Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, Chicago? It is Monday, October 9th, 2017, and Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side studios located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church, and we have a show for you today. Man, it's going to be good. I can't wait to get into today's broadcast. I am excited about it. Today's topic of conversation, look here, 8 reasons your church isn't reaching people. 8 reasons your church isn't reaching people. That's today's topic of conversation. It's going to be good. I can't wait to jump all over this thing, man. It's going to be good. I'm excited. Ooh, y'all coming on in the room. Y'all got in early, too. My God, bless y'all. Come on. That's right. Keep coming on in, man. It's going to be a good time today. As always, in case you're the first time watching, the first time listening, it's your boy, your host. I'm Minister Dana L. King, and I'm in the studio by myself. My good buddy, Pastor Parks, won't be in with us today, but it's just me, and it's just me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Amen. But we're going to have a good time anyway, man. It's a good show. Again, today's topic of conversation is 8 reasons your church isn't reaching people. We're going to find out what's happening and why your church ain't reaching people. That's going to be the topic of conversation. Let me get down to that. Then we're also going to talk about something else today. You know, I forgot today was a holiday. You know, we're going to talk about that too, right? This thing called Columbus Day. We're going to jump in on some of that too, a little bit too. I'm just curious as to how that's going to go for some of y'all. I mean, I know everybody appreciate a day off for those of you who have the day off, but I'm just curious how y'all feel about that. But let me give you the rundown on how you could be a part of today's show. If you're already listening on the line, meaning you're listening on the line via your phone, just push 1 and you could be a part of today's show. That'll get you to my producer and she'll get you over to me. And you can talk and be on the radio and on Facebook Live and you stream with everybody else. And we'd love to have you. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, that's our home base. That's the main deal. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. We'd love to hear from you that way. If you want to email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. We'd love to hear from you all that way. Always blessed to hear from you all via email. We love our emailers. Yes, we do. Ustream. The live streams are up and running. Ustream.tv. You can find us right there. Ustream.tv. Just do a simple search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will find us there. That's Ustream.tv. Ustream.tv. Also, Facebook Live is up and running. Hey, I see y'all coming on in the room. Y'all came in quick on Facebook Live. What's going on? Facebook Live, facebook.com/TTLO radio. That's where you can find us. That's facebook.com/TTLO radio is where you can find us. And then last but not least, you can subscribe to our podcast. Go to your iTunes account, go to your Blogger account, your Stitcher account, anywhere you can download a podcast and do a simple search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will find us there. Amen. Amen, amen. God bless y'all, man. You know what? Let me say this, man. Let me talk about this thing. I want to give everybody a chance to come on in. And if you haven't already, hit the share button. Invite your people. Tell them to come on in. I told y'all what to do. Now, if you're watching on your computer, you know, you hit the share button, and then it'll send the folk out, and you can grab everybody and have them come on in. So I'm just grateful that we have this medium and everything. But if you hit the share button, you can invite your friends, right? It's two ways to share. You hit the share button, you'll see a sign that says share now. I'm talking to y'all on Facebook. Same thing for those of you watching on Ustream. If you hit the share button, you have the same options, the very same options on Ustream. Hit the share button, and it'll give you the opportunity to share now. Also, if you hit the share button on your mobile device or whatever, it gives you the opportunity to invite your friends to watch the broadcast. If you feel like it's something you want to share with your people, then feel free to go ahead and invite them in. It is all right with me. Don't be stingy and share what we got going on. Let them know that they can be a part of this great thing we call Taking the Limits Off Radio. Amen, amen. The more, the merrier. But I don't mind sometimes just the faithful few. Amen, amen. So let's just jump right into some conversation, y'all. So look here. Yesterday, let me say this. What's going on, my twin Angela? Let me speak to some of y'all in the room real quick because I missed some of y'all early on. Pat Lewis, I see you in the room. Mama, thank you so much. Mama sung for me yesterday, y'all. Before I preached yesterday, I put her on the spot on Saturday. Pat Lewis, I put her on the spot on Saturday, and I said, you know what, Pat? I said, it's a song been in my spirit. Father, I stretch my hand to thee, no other help I know. So I said, do me a favor. I said, after I read my scripture, can you sing this song for me? And she said, yes. And she sang that thing and just set the atmosphere for the preach word to go forth on yesterday. If I'd have had it in me, I would have joined in and helped her out, but it just wasn't it just wasn't in me. But I'm just grateful, man, for her. And let me say this, man, to my Kingdom Baptist Church family here and at the church house. God bless y'all, man. God bless y'all for just thank you for the opportunity that I was given on yesterday to preach the word. And I don't know what effect it may or may not have had on anyone, but I'll say this. Anytime one walks the aisle and gives his life over to Christ and brings his child in and brings his child to Christ, you can't help but get excited. Look here, even if only one person sitting in the audience got it, that told me when one person got up and walked down the aisle and decided to become a part of this congregation, that let me know that that my job was sufficient. Amen. Amen. So anytime you get one to come, and I'm grateful, and I'll say it like this. I'm grateful that every time I have preached at this church, every time I preach this church, that there has been someone who has given their life over to Christ. And it is just an amazing thing. And I'm just grateful that God chooses to use me in such a way. Even when you don't think you're in a position to help folk, God will show you that he is still who he says he is. And he will still use you to bring people to him. And I'm just grateful for that, man. So I'm just full from yesterday, man. And we don't have the proper media system inside my church. I know y'all say, well, how are you in the church doing this radio broadcast? How are you in? They asked this question. How are you in here doing this radio broadcast and all of this stuff, but you can't broadcast on Sunday? It's a completely different setup. I'm just going to put it to you like this, y'all. It's a completely different setup. I can't do this out there. It's not set up that way. The environment won't allow it. The environment won't allow it to happen, but I'm just grateful for the opportunities that I'm given, man. And whenever I get a chance to preach the word of God, I just have to say thank you, man. I was full yesterday, man. Y'all don't know how hard it was to stand up in that pulpit on yesterday. It was, and I'm glad that I'm glad that God didn't allow me to not do it. I'm just glad that he didn't allow me to not do it, even though I didn't feel like I wanted to do it, even though I really didn't want to do it. I'm glad he allowed me to stand up and do it anyway, and that he used me the way that he did. And if anybody could say thank you, let it start off with me. So I just said thank you, Lord, for yesterday's preached word. and the little spin that you allowed me to put on it about what they said and what who says and all these other things. So I'm just grateful, man. It was good, man. It was a good time yesterday, and I'm just grateful. And thank you all to everyone who came out. As always, my mom, who supports me. And you know what? People will go, you know, and I say it all the time, you know, yeah, 47 years old, and I'll just tell it like it is. At 47 years old, I'm still, as my mama say, that I am her only child, and she said some stuff to some people yesterday before she left. I ain't gonna repeat it, but she said some stuff as though I was like 8 years old, like y'all better take care of my baby. I'm like, wow. But anyway, man, so I want to thank my mom for coming out and everyone else who came out, all of my people who supported and the people who just always send me an encouraging word and those who talk to me on a daily basis, weekly basis, and all of that stuff, man. It's just good, man. And I was just grateful for it. And to God be the glory, man. To God be the glory for all the wonderful and amazing things he continues to do. I'm looking forward, man, to some of y'all coming out this month. Again, I'll be preaching all month. I'll be preaching all month here at the church for the rest of the month. And if you want to come out, you're more than welcome to come out. Especially to my TTLO family. I know my church family are already going to be here, but to my TTLO family, some of you all I've met, some of you all I have not. Please come out if you have the opportunity to come out. I invite you to come out. And even if you know what, I know you got your own churches you go to and everything else, and that's fine. If you just pop your head in and just wave your hand, and even if you don't get the chance to stay for the whole service, just let somebody know where you were from and how you managed to find this place on Central and Fulton, and we'll be grateful just to have you in our presence. Amen, 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 amen. All right, so let's talk about some stuff, y'all, today. So I honestly forgot, excuse me, I honestly forgot that today was a holiday. I knew it was coming up, but it just didn't dawn on me that, and then what holiday it was. I knew people were talking about it last week, and I didn't really know what, and I'm like, wait a minute, holiday? And it's like, yeah, Columbus Day. Good old Christopher Columbus. Y'all know how the thing go. In 1492, Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean blue and blah, 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 and all of that good stuff. And I don't want to spend too much time on it, but isn't it funny, or I'll use my former pastor's word, isn't it ironic? isn't it ironic how even though we know the truth, even though the world... the world knows the truth, we still celebrate Columbus Day. Let's just think about that. Let's just pause for a second, and let me let that marinate with y'all for a minute. Even though we know the truth, even though we understand that Christopher Columbus didn't discover nothing, even though we know the truth that he ain't found nothing, he didn't discover nothing, he really didn't do nothing. All he did was get lost at sea. Got lost in the middle of the ocean. That's all he did. All he did was get lost, and then in the last ditch effort looked up and saw land. My God. He looked up and saw some land and found a place where his people could get some help and discovered a place, watch this, that was already inhabited with people. And then here you come with your sick, diseased self, syphilis carrying, all types of nastiness, and here you come, lost. And then infect half a population and then enslave the rest of the population. But 1492, let's just do the math. Now, we got 14, as my grandmom used to do, my great-grandmama, for those of y'all watching on TV, Lord help us, I'm just speaking that into existence. For those of y'all watching on Facebook Live and Ustream, my grandmom used to count like this with her fingers. She used to say, now 14, okay, so she said, now 14, 15, 16, 17, 19. So we're talking how many hundreds of years ago, right? How many hundreds of years ago, y'all, this dude got lost And even now, we recognize that Christopher Columbus really didn't do anything but get lost and take over and enslave a nation of people, the true inhabitants of the quote-unquote United States of America, what we now know as that whole area down there in the Florida Peninsula and everything. We understand all that good stuff and find out later on, and we still celebrate Columbus Day. If you pause for a minute to think about the foolery of that, now we want to tear down. Now, don't get me wrong. We get mad. We get mad about these statues that are still up. Let me read this comment real quick. I don't want to miss nobody's comment. My sister Adrian Williams says, Reverend King, I felt privileged yesterday being a part of Kingdom Baptist Church. Don't know what God got for you, but you did that thing. I kept it clean. Jesus, for your sake. Well, God, bless you, Adrian, for keeping it clean. But this taking limits on radio, baby. You can see it how you feel it. It's going to be all right. They ain't going to hold you accountable. They'll hold me accountable. It's all right. But think about this, y'all. Seriously, and thank you so much for watching. I see the rest of y'all coming on in, and my twin, Angela Johnson, God bless you. Let me just say some more hellos to some people in here. I didn't miss a whole lot of y'all. Where y'all come from? My God, Leslie Kelly, Iris Reed, Andre Parker, Tori Young, Francis Gibbs, Leslie Kelly, Danielle Donnell, Yolanda La Hester, Yvette Quinones, Gabrielle Morris. What's going on? That's my God baby's mama, y'all. My God baby mama, I like to call her that. Angelica Mann Smith. The good Cardinal Michael Bernard Henderson, Sheldon Wilson, God bless you. Again, Miguel Atkins, God bless you. Sheldon Wilson says, I've been praying for you. Your broadcast helps me get through my day. Galatians 6 and 9, be not weary. I receive that, Sheldon Wilson. My God, I receive that. Thank you. Bless you. Angela Johnson, what's going on, twin? I see you. Vanessa Reed, what's going on? Ashley Chantel, I see you. Cosetta Dean, God bless you. Christine Williams, God bless you. My God, y'all coming on in the room. Kevin DeCharles Johnson, bless you. Michelle King, God bless you. Melissa Brown, bless you. Yolanda Michelle Brown, okay, y'all coming on in. Mary Jane Whitfield, okay, bless you, bless you, bless you. Let's see. Susie Newton, God bless you. My God, y'all blessing me right now. I might feel like preaching a little bit more. My God, Belinda Marie Pinta, God bless you. Bessie Nickel, Mama Bessie, what's going on? My producer is enjoying y'all on Facebook. God bless you. Latanya Melton, Tyrone Lewis, I see you. Spank, Anton Little. And look at my other baby done popped in, Christina Martin. God bless y'all. She must be off today because that's what today. The banks closed today. The banks is closed today. So that's why y'all, that's why everybody got these off days. That's why all y'all in here today. Well, God bless y'all, man. I'm just, it is an absolute privilege to be, to just be a part of this thing with y'all. But let me jump some more back into this Columbus Day thing. Now, y'all pray for me. Y'all pray for me. With this Columbus Day mess. So, you know, the big controversy about taking down the statues of all of these people who were what we would call they were traitors against the country. You know, Robert E. Lee and all those guys, they fought for the South. Well, the North won. We all know the story. She said, "No, I'm on lunch. We open." Oh, okay. Well. Bless you anyway. it's something about the fact we want to take these statues down, right, of these people. They want to take down all these Confederate general statues and all these Confederate leader statues and all that stuff. Let me ask y'all this. Can we take it back a little bit further? Why haven't we taken down the stuff celebrating Christopher Columbus? I mean, seriously. It's Columbus Day, right? And our schools are closed, and some of y'all ain't got to work, and not everybody, but those of you who work for government agencies, y'all sitting at home today. Those of you who work for Chicago public schools or public schools around the country and charter schools, and I believe even the Catholic and the private schools, all of y'all are at home today, right? And you're home because we're celebrating the day of a well, I don't want to call him a terrorist, but he's a thief. who showed up, watch this, stole some land, showed up showing, you know, pretending to be one thing, happy that the Indians, watch this, the Native Americans saved his life. They saved his life, right? And then he sent word back to Spain to have all of the rest of the ships come saying, hey, I discovered this place. I discovered this place. And here's this place. And look, they ain't got nothing but these natives that are here. And they're very nice. And they don't have any real weapons. All they have are bow and arrows and knives and spears, and if you bring all of our big guns, and if you bring all of our cannons, and you bring all of these things, we can take over the land. That's the story of Christopher Columbus in a nutshell. You got lost. Okay, that's the equivalent. Can I help somebody real quick? I'm gonna say this thing real quick. That's the equivalent, Christopher Columbus. That's the equivalent of me driving my car. Y'all pray for me. Y'all know I'm gonna give you an analogy real quick now. Help me. Thank you, Holy Ghost. That's the equivalent of me driving my car, right? And I drive, and my GPS don't work, and I ain't got no type of MapQuest. I ain't got no, I dated myself, MapQuest. Y'all remember MapQuest, right? I ain't got no type of nothing, and I'm driving, and I run out of gas, right in front of somebody's house. In an area or a town that I ain't never been in before, and now I'm stuck out there. I'm hungry. I ain't got nothing, nowhere to find nobody, but I find this house. And in this house, there are some people who decide to be nice to me because I'm a stranger and I'm lost. Y'all stay with me. Don't lose me now. I'm talking about Christopher Columbus. I'm a stranger that's lost, and you let me in your house, and you feed me, and you take care of me, and I'm sick, and I'm stinking because I've been out on the road with no change of clothes and no way to wash my behind, and you take me in, and then this is what I do. I said, thank you so much, Mr. Kind Person, Mrs. Kind Person, and you and your family, you take me in. And then I send word back to my people. I said, hey, y'all, I found a house, and all y'all got to do is show up. And they so nice, and they so stupid, and they don't understand what it is we're trying to do. You just come and show up, and guess what? This will be our house. That's the equivalent. That's it right there. I'm just going to show up and take what's yours. And we're celebrating today, Christopher Columbus Day. 1492, Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Really? That's what we're doing today. Where is the repeal of Columbus Day? Couldn't we take Columbus Day away since we now know the truth and we've been let me ask this question. I got some teachers on here, right? I know I got some teachers and some retired teachers and some public school teachers and some charter school teachers and charter school workers and all of that. Can y'all help me? Help me, especially my elementary school teachers. Are we still teaching Christopher Columbus? Y'all help me. Come on, y'all, somebody real quick. Send me a message. Send me something in this Facebook thing or on Ustream. Are we still teaching the Christopher Columbus story to our children? Is that still being taught in schools? Is this still part of the curriculum? I guess it would be in history, right? That was when you would have heard it in history. Are we still teaching this to kids today? Are we still teaching our children that this is the truth of what actually happened? Is that what's going on? Somebody help me. Help me, please, y'all. Anybody with wisdom on this here particular knowledge, can somebody help me? I'm just curious. Are we still teaching this? Because I want to know, if you are still teaching it, knowing what you know, what does that mean? I'm curious. If you're still teaching it, and based off of all the information that we now know, all of the true historical facts that we've now been that we've been given, where is the information? Ah, let's see. Okay, it says we're teaching the true story of what really happened, and referring to today as Indigenous People's Day. Oh, I've heard that term before, the Indigenous People's Day. Indigenous People's Day. Kofi Lee, don't go nowhere, man. We haven't gotten to the topic yet, but you are head on. You are head on, Kofi Lee. God bless you. We haven't gotten there yet, but you head on. You hit it right on the head. That's where we're gonna go in a minute. But I'm gonna get back to this Columbus Day thing. So it's being called Indigenous People's Day. Let me look that up. Let me do a quick search on that. What we got on that, y'all? Indigenous People's Day. Indigenous People's Day 2017 in the United States of America. Ah, okay. Indigenous People's Day. Uh-huh. Let's see. Let me just read something here that was from the USA Today. It says, in 2017, the tradition of honoring the famed Italian explorer may be sinking fast. It says a growing number of cities are abandoning ship and replacing Columbus Day, celebrated Monday, with Indigenous People's Day, also known by some as Native Americans Day. On Thursday, the Austin City Council became the latest community to go that route, approving a resolution recognizing the second Monday of every October as Indigenous Peoples Day and encouraging schools to teach Native American history. Austin's move comes after similar action in August in Los Angeles, the biggest city to boot the holiday from its calendars. The nearly two dozen places such as Burbank, California, and Bangor, Maine. The issue has been a delicate one. Native American groups say the holiday embraces Western colonialism and pays tribute to a man who promoted the transatlantic slave trade and is responsible for the genocide of the indigenous people. Italian Americans see the move to scrap the holiday as an affront to their ethnic heritage. On behalf of the Italian community, we want to celebrate with you. Ann Potenza, president of the Federated Italo-Americans of Southern California, said at a hearing in Los Angeles in August, we just don't want to be at the wanted to be at the expense of Columbus Day. Interesting. So the Italians, make sure I got this right now. The Italians, because, you know, Christopher Columbus was from over that way. The Italians don't want us to lose the day. Now, here in Illinois, we still celebrate Columbus Day, right? Am I wrong on that? Chicago still listed as Columbus Day? Yeah. On your work calendars, for those of you who might not know, on y'all days off, those of you who are sitting at home today, does it say Columbus Day off? Is that what it says on your calendar? It's amazing. Brother Lewis, thank you. Tyrone says, California don't celebrate Columbus Day. There are a few more states, but not Illinois. Yeah, of course. Yeah, we know Illinois ain't going, you know, we last to everything. That's not even worth a... We last to everything when it comes to that. I just wanted to put that out there real quick, just about that whole Columbus Day thing. Because with all of the arguing going on right now about taking down Confederate statues, because based off of the negative history behind them, then mighty funny. We don't want to anger our Italian brothers and sisters, huh? Columbus Day moving to replace the holiday on. We don't want to upset our Italian brothers and sisters. We don't want them to be upset. I'm really biting my tongue right now. Y'all just don't know. Woo, help me, Lord. Help me. It's called maturity. But let me just say this. We don't want to upset nobody. But it's okay that we keep celebrating somebody. What about the indigenous people, the Native Americans, whose ancestors were slaughtered by this man and have to see this day pop up all day, every day? Now, let me say this. I'll say this like they said about the Confederate statues and like they said about all this other stuff, right? I bet you don't see one statue of Adolf Hitler nowhere. I'll say it again. there is not one statue, there's not one day of Adolf Hitler anywhere. And you said, Dana, did you just compare Adolf Hitler to Christopher Columbus? I sure in the hell did. Let me tell you why. Adolf Hitler killed hundreds of thousands of Jews, put them in concentration camps and sent them all around, all over the place, and destroyed families. What did Christopher Columbus do? Killed hundreds of thousands of indigenous people, made them into slaves. That's what he did. You tell me what's the difference. We ain't celebrating. There's no Adolf Hitler Day. There's not one statue recognizing Adolf Hitler in the entire country of Germany. Not one. But in this country, the one we call the land of the free, the home of the brave, we got statues up of people who fought against this country. We got statues up of people who were thieves and liars and known terrorists. We got all type of stuff hanging up over here, and it's all right. But we don't want to offend nobody by taking their statue down. We don't want to insult nobody's heritage by taking their statue down. I guess, you know, we shouldn't be offended, you know. Speaking of offense, real quick, I want to touch on this subject. So I was late to the party. This whole thing, where's my producer at? I was late to the party. This whole thing with the Dove soap commercial. Y'all know the one, this whole controversy now with the Dove soap commercial, where it starts off with a black girl, and she, you know, and the thing is, you use Dove soap and it cleans you up or whatever. That's not what they were trying to say, but that's what it looked like they were saying. So they showed this montage of four different people taking off a shirt and different skin tones, and it goes from the dark girl to the white girl at the end. So Dove is now under protest. Am I getting this right, Tanya? What yet? Am I getting this right now? Dove is under protest because now I guess all black folk, now y'all finna stop using Dove soap, right? Is that the gist of it? Y'all gonna stop using Dove? Y'all threw y'all Dove out. I saw a preacher yesterday ask me on Facebook. Ask the people on Facebook. He said he threw all his daughter's soap out and stuff. And can anybody recommend another soap? Because people's just throwing out their Dove soap. Can I ask a question? Just one question. I'm going to raise my hand like I'm in school. Can I ask one question about this Dove protest? You ain't got to buy no more Dove. Okay, I get that. I get it. You don't want to buy Dove? You now want to call Dove a racist company? If that's how you feel, that's on you, right? But let me say this in all honesty. If you already got the soap in your house, so, you know, normally when you buy Dove, you can buy the individual bars, but if you go like to Sam's or Costco or Walmart or Target, they have like the 12 bar packets, boxes or whatever. Now, you know already, Dove got your money already, right? What purpose does it serve you throwing the soap out at this point? I'm not trying to belittle the movement. I'm just asking a serious question. And I know y'all like, oh, here he go. I'm so serious right now. You going to take the soap? Are you going to take back the unused bar? I want to see y'all take it. Get that soap, you know, that one little piece, y'all know how we do. You know how you got that bar of soap, and then the window on down to that last little sliver, and, you know, if you use it too hard, it'll break into two. You're going to take that back to the store and say, Dove, give me my money back. I mean, why throw away the soap at this point? What message are you sending to Dove by already throwing away soap that you done already spent your money on? I saw people on Facebook. I was reading something. Y'all throwing away soap. I put out all of my Dove body washing, and I poured it down the sink, and I did this. You crazy as hell. Can I say it again? You got to be out your rabbit mind. Why would you pour out that good body wash? I'm going to say it like it. What? What's wrong with y'all? I poured all my Dove shampoo out and all, I ain't using this stuff. And, you know, and I saw bras on your head, man. I ain't using Dove for men no more and all that. Okay. But you already bought it. You bought the soap. You spent your good money down to the Target and down to the Walmart and down to the Costco. You done spent all your money on this stuff. And now all of a sudden you're going to throw it out. Now I'm mad. That is just as crazy. That is just as foolish as people who get mad when they sports, when they athlete leaves their city and go somewhere else, and you take the jersey that you spent your hard on money on, and you go outside and you put lighter fluid to it and you burn it. Talking about I'm mad, so I'm gonna burn my LeBron James jersey. What is wrong with some of these? What's wrong with some? Are y'all praying for these people? Y'all know their minds is bad. You ain't.
Hello.
Hey, look. Hello.
This ain't second time doing this.
The second time doing what?
This is the second time that an ad has been racist. So if y'all didn't throw y'all body wash out the first time.
From Dove?
Or
is this
the
from?
Time. Yes, Dove.
I'm sorry, y'all. That's my producer, Latonya Melton, on with us right now. I'm sorry, y'all. I know y'all like, I'm hearing voices. Go ahead. What you say now? So, this is the second ad that Dove has had with some racist comments?
Yes. The first one was with three ladies, and you see a before and after. Before had cracked black skin, and then the after had this smooth skin. But under the after it was a white lady. And in the middle, it's this transitioning lady, like fair skin, and then you have the black lady underneath the before picture, with like you know. So what you're trying to say, black people got cracked skin. How come y'all just didn't? So it was, they had to pull that ad, and so this is the second time they've done that. And if you just gonna throw away your Dove body wash, throw away your helmets, throw away your Axe, throw away your Dollar Shave Club, throw away all of that because they own 400 brands. And they're a $1 billion industry. So
hold
don't
on.
Dove
on what? This ain't, don't wait a minute. You try to tell me, hold on, hold 1 minute. Let's pause for the calls. You say the Dove people own the helmets, mayonnaise people all own Dove.
Yeah, so
what?
Don't throw away your Lipton. Throw away every 400 brands that they own. Throw away
the
your
Dove people
Jerry,
own Axe too. The Axe body wash and all that stuff and the sprays and all that.
Yes.
It's going to be some funky folks walking around here. Hold one minute. Let me steal my mama's line. You done blew my hair back if I had hair. I'm confused. So if you really want to hit them, right, you just can't throw away the Dove. You got to throw all that good helmets, mayonnaise. You know, okay. Anyway,
throw away your Magnum ice cream bars, which is really good. Throw away that.
Did you say really good? Why your voice get deep on really good on the Magnum
ice cream? It's really good. I said it. Yummy goodness.
Okay. Wow. So Dove has done this before. And they had to pull an ad, and now they're back again. And apparently, they have they've done this. They have the second ad that they're pulling now, and people are now. So now is all. Let me ask you a question.
They said they missed the mark. That was their statement. They missed the mark. They were just saying like unilaterally that because you said it's four people, it was supposed to just represent this whole. Like, everybody can use it and everything else like that, but they missed the mark. And, but like everyone said, who was all sitting in the office like, yeah, that's a good ad right there.
Who are your marketing people? Again, who are your marketing people? And this goes to...
And those were just gifts. That ad just happened to be on Facebook. That's not an ad that's on TV. So it was just like, the thing is, like, everybody screenshotted it real fast. Like, is Dove for real right now? Like, they thought it was a joke. But it was really an actual ad that was on Facebook. It's nothing that you will find on TV.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm told it was just, these were gifts, and so they just those animation, and so that was what was put on onto Facebook. Like, you know, here we go again. Like, you know, with the Russians, with the Black Lives Matter movement, and then you get this right here, this racist, you know, this racist post right here. So another thing, like, you know, blame Facebook for even letting this go out. It went past so many people before outrage. Like, you know, it was like, okay, y'all
wow.
For real?
Wow. Well, there that goes. So look here, let me help y'all right now, especially to my bros out there. Thank you, Tanya, appreciate you. Let me help my bros out real quick. For those of my brothers that want to throw away your Dove body wash, you can send it right over here to Taking the Limits Off Radio. You already bought the stuff. Why are you throwing it out? I'm for real. You done spent your money. You done spent your money on that good Dove soap. And Dove makes some good soap. I mean, y'all might well stop lying. Y'all can get mad and talk about all the other stuff. What y'all gonna go back to? We gonna go back to Ivory? You know, back in the day, that was the only soap that us, you know, Ivory, because it floats in the water. That's the only soap that we was using back in the day before we got all fancy with all these other soaps and stuff. But now, y'all just gonna stop using. Now, you can stop using Dove. I'm not telling you to stop using it. Susan and Mary are the marketers. Keisha and Alexis are in the boardroom. I'm done. I'm so done right now. She says that Susan and Mary were the ones in the room, and Keisha and Alexis weren't in the boardroom when they came up with that ad. It just makes you wonder. Oh, my God. Thank you so much, G.I. So let me say some hello to some more people that done popped in. My brother, Kofi Lee, God bless you. Gloria Jackson, God bless you. Evangelist Penny Mitchell. Vanessa Reed, God bless you. Evangelist Bianca Jensen Monroe, God bless you. Gloria Ellis, my old supervisor, God bless you. From back at Chase, my God, y'all going way back. Apostle David Zaka, God bless you. Kathleen Savon, come on in. Jill Allison, Simona Brooks, God bless both of y'all. Terry Champion, God bless y'all. Evangelist Alberta Lynn Saxton, God bless you. Let's see, Jerry Goss, what's going on? God bless you. Let's see. Angela Parker, what's going on? Wilcox in the house, God bless you. Julian E. Spencer, what's going on? Pastor Spencer, let me ask you, if you're still on, do you have some Dove soap that you want to throw away? Because you please don't throw it away. Just send it to me if you boycotting Dove too. And Patricia Hicks, God bless you, Pat Hicks. I just want to know, are y'all throwing away y'all Dove soap? I just want to know. Because we know we will take all Dove soap. Now, don't send me your used soap bar. That's nasty. But if you got some unused, a brand new couple of boxes of some Dove male body wash and the good smelling stuff and the Dove soap for men and all that, and y'all, you know, y'all on y'all high horse and no longer want to use it, the address to Taking Limits Off Radio was 301 North Central on the third floor. We'll take it. We're not mad over here. We're mad about the ad, but we ain't finna throw away no good soap. I mean, y'all, that's, you know, what y'all finna do? And as my producer just told y'all, the Dove company owns, it's a billion-dollar company because they own a whole lot more stuff. So if you really want to hit them, you got to stop buying all this other stuff. All y'all that's walking around here spraying that good axe-smelling stuff on, you know, that axe. Not let me ax somebody, but axe, A-X-E. That axe cologne, you know, that spray good, that smell good. Apparently Dove own that too. So y'all finna stop using that too? I'm just curious. Yeah? Y'all gonna stop using all of that stuff because of this commercial. Yeah, Dove missed the mark. Yeah, the commercial was somewhat insensitive to they, no one was in there looking at the larger picture, and it's something that should have never came out. Now, Facebook, on the other hand, Facebook is about the business of making money. So they're going to let you pretty much run whatever you want to run, and until somebody decides to regulate that, it's going to be what it's going to be. They're going to let you do what you're going to do. Which is why you had all that stuff that happened with the election and everything else. They're going to let you do what you're going to do. As long as you can afford the ad, you can put it on Facebook. Amen. So, look, y'all, we're going to take a break. I'm going to get up and get my water. I left way over there. I wish, you know, way over there. I'm going to get up and get my water, And when we come back, we're going to jump into today's conversation. Eight reasons your church isn't reaching people. Eight reasons your church isn't reaching people. Yeah, we do, Kofi Lee. The call-in number, the call-in number. Tanya, can you put the call-in number on the Facebook Live? Area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934. I guess I could type it myself. I'm just being real lazy right now. Area code 347-934. As soon as I can find a place to type. There we go. Area code 347-934-0546. That's the call-in number to the show. You are more than welcome to call in. We look forward to hearing from you all. Sharisha, let me move some more y'all that came on in. Essie Lane, God bless you. Happy Monday to you too, Pat Hicks. Sharisha York, God bless you. Missed your church yesterday, Sharisha. God bless you. Jeremy Gross, God bless you. My brother from Austin, Cedric Towner, another tiger in the house. I get blessed when I see my former band members on here. We need to have a band reunion. You know what would be great to do? It just popped in my head. Cedric. Cedric, you're local, right? Aren't you in the city still? No? Yes? I believe you're still here. We should have a band reunion in the studio. That would be fun. Now, see, but y'all can't come up in here, you know, telling all the stories. You know, this is a Christian radio show. But we should have a band reunion live on Taking the Limits Off Radio. I just want to see, because here's the deal. I just want to see if some of y'all from the old school band can still do some of the moves. We got plenty of room, right? I move all this up, and we got a whole stage back here and a whole area back here. I think we should do a band reunion of the old Austin High School Marching Band live here at Taking the Limits Off Radio. I think that would be awesome. I just think it would be awesome. It would be funny because I know some of y'all can't move at all no more. I didn't see some y'all going to pray for y'all. But I'm just saying, it would be a good time. But look, we're going to take a break. We're going to jump back in and continue with the show. But we're going to take a real quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump right into today's conversation. Eight reasons your church isn't reaching the people, right? Amen. We'll be right back, y'all. We're going to give y'all some of this old school Adrian B. King. Jesus is my everything. Taking Limits Off Radio. Mission on Monday. We'll be right back, y'all. Amen. Amen. My everything. That's Adrian B. King, man. I'm about to get him back in. I wonder what is Adrian up to right now. I know he's still doing some writing and some probably getting ready for another album or something, but we haven't had him talk to him in a while. Good to get to see what's going on with him locally. That's a good song, though, man. That's old. That's an old one from Adrian, man. I'm just blessed to know that brother, have met with him, and he's a good dude. He's a good dude, man, and just going to continue to pray for him and his ministry, that God will continue to bless him. Everything. Woo, y'all. I got to act right now. My mama done joined in. Mama done joined in on Facebook Live. I just seen her pop in the last one. Just popped in on Facebook Live. Mama King done joined us, y'all. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. My mama's out. Anyway, y'all, so we got this really good article. We're going to jump right into this thing, right? I got to make sure I use my time wisely. We got 39 good minutes to talk about this thing. 39 good minutes. That was good. Amen, amen, amen. So let's just jump right into today's topic of conversation. Eight reasons your church. Yeah, that's it. Eight reasons your church is not reaching not reaching the people. Yeah, eight reasons your church isn't reaching the people. That's today's topic of conversation. You're more than welcome to join in with your questions and your comments. You can email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Excuse me. We'd love to read that email live over the air. You can call into the show as well. That's area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. We would love to hear from you that way as well. Amen. Amen. So the writer says this. I love this. Again, the writer says this. Eight reasons your church isn't reaching the people. Eight reasons your church isn't reaching the people. Here we go. The writer says, go into all the world and make disciples. That's the mission that God gave his church. Amen. He says, and even though we have creative purpose statements and fancy website slogans, that's still the heart of the mission of the church that you're leading. He says, our job is to reach people and to help them follow Jesus. That's the business. He says, so let me ask you a simple question. How's business? How is your church doing at accomplishing this God-given mission? Are you truly reaching people? That's the question. It's easy for a church to be about maintaining the status quo, you know, keeping the saints comfortable or staying busy doing good things. But we must never forget that our job is to reach the people. He says, oh, my God, here are eight reasons your church might be struggling to reach people who need to hear, know, and live out the gospel. Let's just jump right into this thing, man. Eight reasons your church isn't reaching the people. Number one says this. You have way too many ministries. You have too many ministries. Can we talk about it? The writer says this. He says, in a way, reaching people is a pretty generic opinion. He says, with a little bit of creativity, you can make just about anything fit into that bucket. He says, that's one reason churches end up with too many ministries. It's true that God can use anything, but effective churches understand they live in a unique community with unique resources guided by a unique calling. Instead of trying to do everything, they focus on what they can do best. That's what stewardship looks like. He says, in our workshop, we dive into how to identify your keystone ministries and align your ministry strategy with your church-wide mission. He says, we spend time working hard on this because we know the key to growth might not be something you start, but something you stop. The most effective churches carefully evaluate everything and make sure each ministry aligns with the mission of the church and has an effective strategy. Without this type of focus, it's likely the ministry will get bloated. He says, if you're struggling to reach people, get some people together and answer this question. If we could only do three things to reach our community, what would they be? Let me go right here. Let me just go on in and just get it over with. If y'all are doing a whole lot of stuff, and again, it's only for the comfortability of the people in your church, then you ain't doing much. If the only thing you set out to accomplish is to make sure that the seniors are happy and that the babies in the church are happy and that the crazy millennials in the church are happy, if you're doing all of these things to make sure that these people are happy, what are you really doing about reaching the lost? You've already reached these people. They're there. Let me tell you something right now. For people who believe, well, you know, if we do all this, if we make all these changes, all of the old people will leave. They're not going nowhere. Well, let me tell you something. When old folk get comfortable, they stay comfortable. They ain't going nowhere. Now, they might fuss about some stuff and watch this. And if they see what you're doing is working, they going to get aboard with you. Now, if you come in there with some mess that God ain't a part of, then now you got some issues. Same thing with babies. The babies ain't going nowhere. So your job is, while you got the babies, is just to teach them, make them feel a part of it. Now with the millennials, this is where you have to use your brain. Now you have to make them a part of the services. You have to put them to work, use their minds, get their minds involved in what you do. Ask them questions. Get their opinions about how they feel about what you present on Sunday and what your church does. Get their opinions on it. And watch this. Don't be offended when they don't agree with what you're currently doing. Kofi Lee says this. Kofi Lee says, the first thing we have to understand and believe is that the mandate from God to reach people. He says, the Bible says in Proverbs 11:30, he who wins souls is wise. He says the church must have a strategic evangelistic plan, which includes assessment, time in community, collecting data, follow-up, and continual spiritual care, which include a few things. He says Matthew 25 tells us what to do. Kofi Lee, my God, you just blessed everybody. You just blessed everybody with that. You have to have a plan, and he used a key word that I use quite often, assessment. Assess what you're currently doing. It means you sit down with your evangelistic team, you sit down with your missionary team, and you find out, okay, based off of what we're doing currently, what has been the fruit of this ministry? We're in the 10th month of the year, right? So from January to October, what has been the fruit of your evangelistic efforts for reaching the lost? Because that's who we're supposed to be reaching. What has been the fruit of that? Don't tell me about, well, you know, I call sister and brother so-and-so and ask them to come back to church. No, 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 and no. What have you done to reach the people who don't know the Lord in your first 10 months of the year? What does your evangelistic mission look like? What does it look like? Angela Johnson, my twin, Pastor Johnson, Angela says, I believe we need to love folks and stop shoving the church beliefs down folks' throats. That ain't Bible. Love Jesus, for the church is the Bible. He says, I agree. Yeah. Kofi says, if any church needs my help for training, it can help. All right, Kofi. I am amazed by this. And here's the deal. Getting back to the main point of the first point, you have all of these ministries, but which ones of those ministries are working well? Which parts of those ministries are working well? So you got 15 ministries, and I'm just throwing a number out. I ain't counting nobody's ministry at their church, and I ain't talking about my own church. I'm just throwing out. You got 15 ministries. Three or four of them work very well. So with the other with the other 11, are any of the other 11 salvageable, or should some of them be shelved? Because here is the deal: unfortunately, in so many of our churches, because churches are so spread out and so spread thin, you got the same people. Well, you know, I'm on the evangelistic team, but I'm also on the mission team, and not only am I on the mission team, but you know, I'm also in the choir. And I'm not also in the choir, but I'm also a deacon. And I'm not just a deacon, I'm also a Sunday school teacher. And then I'm not just a Sunday school teacher, I also happen to drive the van. Let me ask you this question. I just named 6-7 different ministries. Which one of those are going to suffer? Which one of those ministries are going to suffer because we're sitting here, we're trying to do everything, and at the end of the day, not accomplishing anything? Think about what I just said. I know people in churches right now, even in my own home church here, who are on 6 or 7 different ministries. You can't, I understand this whole thing. You see a gap, fill the gap. I get that. But at what point do we start to recognize there's this term in business called diminishing returns? It's a real simple statement. It's called diminishing returns. God bless you, R.C. Bishop, R.C. Blakes, man. I'm still thinking about that word you preached to me, man. You helped me. God bless you. God bless you, sir. Thank you. Do you understand what diminishing returns is? I mean, you're putting all of your efforts into all of these baskets and you're getting back little drips and drabs of results. When if you put your eggs in the basket of the things you do well, instead of having all of these ministries, you might actually see something different. So let me give y'all this first one. In here real quick. Bless you, Bishop Blakes. Don't make me go in, Bishop. Now you calm down now, because you know you had me out there at Angela's church, and I had to maintain myself when you was speaking to me and through me. My God. My. All right, let me move on. I don't want to stay off topic. All right, again, we're talking about 8 reasons your church isn't reaching people. Number two says this: you're not actually equipping people to invite. This is what the writer says. The writer says, pastors often do a great job of encouraging their people to invite friends and neighbors and coworkers, but encouragement and equipping are two different things. Let me say that again. Encouragement and equipping are two different things. I'm going to jump on that. I'm going to come back to that. He says, people don't just need encouragement to invite. They need the tools. He says, you need to do more than ask them to bring people to church. You need to give them resources that make it easy to follow through. Oh, my. Ah, he says, are you asking people to invite their neighbors, friends, and coworkers, or are you giving them actual tools to do it? After all, if you want someone to do something, make sure you have the tools to do the job. He says, here are two examples. He says, instead of saying invite your friends using social media, say something like, if you go to ourchurch.com/invite, you'll find sample images you can share and even Facebook posts that you can cut, paste, and share in your own personal feed. If you can copy and paste, you can invite people to your church next week. He says, instead of saying, don't forget to invite your friends next week, say something like, on the way out, our greeters are going to give you 3 small business cards. I'd like you to ask to personally give them to 3 people this week. It could be someone you work with, or it could be a server at a restaurant. Wow. Think about this. I want to go way back to the very beginning of number 2, where he says, encouragement and equipping are two different things. We've heard it said in your own churches and in our churches and in churches that we've visited. We've heard this said a million times. Bring somebody with you. Okay. How am I supposed to do that? See, let me help somebody. My background is sales and marketing. That's my background. In sales and marketing, there was always strategy. Every time you were trying to introduce a new product, every time you were trying to get someone's interest, you had to have the tools necessary to garner their interest and to keep their attention. So if you're talking about strategy, you just can't tell people the equivalent. Let me help you. Me telling you to bring somebody to church is the equivalent of me as a salesperson or a marketer saying, hey, you should buy this water. You know, if you're thirsty, you should buy this water. Now, I ain't get, that's the equivalent of, hey, you should come and go to church with me next week. That's the equivalent. That is the equivalent of what I just did, saying, hey, you should drink some of this water. That's the equivalent of saying, hey, you should come and go to church with me next week. Now, here is the difference. If I was going to actually try to tell you about this water, now, I'm not going to give these people no free advertising, so let me turn this label around. Although I would love to work with this said company right here, but I'm not going to give them no free advertisement. But let me help somebody. Let me help somebody. The writer says this. Let me say it like this. This water is excellent. Let me tell you why this water is excellent. This water does not taste like any other water on the market. It does not taste like that water. It does not taste like the ice cup water, the water that starts with the intelligent water. It don't taste like that. Y'all called it intelligent, but y'all know what I'm talking about. It don't taste like the bootleg water. It's an amazing product. And watch this. It is untouched by man's hands. If you believe what they say about the water, according to it, it says this water is untouched by man's hands. It is made strictly from the tropical rain, and it slowly filters through volcanic rock as it gathers its electrolytes, and it is put straight in the bottle. Man's hands never actually touch this water. Now, this water sounds like something you might be interested in. Versus, hey, you should drink this water. Because that's how we try to sell church. That's how we try to sell church. And we're sending our people out ill-equipped. And then that's why they don't want to go out, because they know we have poorly trained them. That's why they don't want to go out to the. That's why they don't want to go out to the community, because they know we have poorly trained our people. Why would I want to go out and embarrass myself with poor information? Why would I want to go out and talk to some people and I'm ill-equipped to do so? I just thought I would share that with y'all. That's just that's just something that I really thought that y'all should get, because you encouragement and equipping is two different things. You can encourage people. Watch this, because can we be honest? And especially, can I talk to my church folk? We can encourage some folks to some craziness. That's just like we tell people, well, you should sing a solo. See, that's not encouragement. That's a send-off. I'm going to leave that alone. There's a difference between encouragement and equipping. Come on now. See, encouraging says, you know what? I believe you can do this. And I believe you should do this. Equipping says, and not only do I believe in you, let me show you how. See, don't miss that. I'll say it again. Encouraging says, I believe you can do this. Equipping says, I believe in it, and I believe in you enough to show you how, to walk you through the process. Here are three easy steps for you to start your process. And once you do those and you get comfortable with those, watch this. I'm going to continue to equip you. Oh, my God, I'm helping somebody right now. I'm going to continue to equip you so that you can become greater at what it is you just started doing. Help me, Holy Ghost. We're talking about eight reasons your church isn't reaching people. Let's go. Number three says this. You aren't designing church services with guests in mind. Uh-oh. You aren't designing your church services with guests in mind. Uh-oh. The writer says this. Let's go. Help us, Lord. Let me read some of these comments. Evangelist Bianca says, train up evangelistic teams and then send them out to fulfill as mandate in Mark 16 and 15. Yeah. Adrian Smith says, lift up the name of Jesus and spread the word. We must have lessons in place to offer our people, especially the young people in the community who are hurting. Equip and train your people. Yeah. Okay, so let's go. Number three says this. You aren't designing church services with guests in mind. The writer says, here's a growth strategy that costs $0. Plan your Sunday services knowing there will be brand new people in the room. That just went over a whole bunch of people's head. God bless you, Tamika Lincoln, for just joining us. Nicole Parker, y'all just popping on in here. Let me make sure I get. Bless y'all. Bless y'all. He says, plan your Sunday services knowing there will be brand new people in the room. It doesn't mean you have to change your message or avoid a topic. It just means you have to plan what you're going to say, knowing that there are guests in the audience. He says, it doesn't mean you have to avoid worship or dumb down anything. It just means you have to be sensitive to explain what might be strange for a new person with no background or context. We says we work with churches to teach verse by verse through books of the Bible who still design their services with guests in mind. That's because this is a mindset issue, not a style issue. He says, if you want new people to come to your church service, make sure it's designed with them in mind. One practical way to do this is to speak to guests every week. Even if there are 15 people in the church service and they're all related to you, intentionally welcome guests and let them know what to expect. It's a powerful way to reinforce your regulars that new people are supposed to be here. Wow. That just blessed me. That just blessed me. My. Ooh, my. You're doing your church service because you want to make Mother Johnson and Deacon so-and-so shout. Because, see, we're going to sing this, and I know Mother Johnson going to stand up and see Deacon so-and-so, this is his favorite song. If you keep catering, if you keep catering to Mother Johnson and Deacon so-and-so and this one over here and this one over here, then what's the point of new people coming to your congregation? If all you're doing, God bless you, Robert Nichols, thank you for coming in. If all you're doing is catering to the people who are already sitting on the bench, don't be surprised when the only people that show up on Sunday are the people that you've been catering to. Oh, don't miss this. Don't miss this. You have to be confident enough that, you know what, my message is diverse enough that it's not just for the people who I know going to be here Sunday, but it needs to be diverse enough so that someone who shows up for the first time, my God, thank you for this revelation and confirmation from yesterday, for the somebody who decides to walk through the door the first time, they might hear something that attracts them enough to teach them to say, hey, you know what? This Jesus thing sounds like something I need to be a part of. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for confirmation. It just blessed myself. Hallelujah, Jesus. You got to make sure that you're teaching the word in a relevant way. I'm not going to say teach a relevant word because the word is already relevant, but our teaching could be irrelevant. See, our teaching could be irrelevant. Our teaching could be so outdated, so inundated with these long, boring, long, monotone classroom-style lectures that ain't nobody trying to hear. Bruh, you got my attention for 25 to 35 good minutes. What you got for me? You got my attention for 25 to 35 good minutes. What you got for me? You can't come with your doctoral dissertations. Miss me with that, man. Ain't nobody got time for that. Gear your services and your words towards people who that are going to be new to your surroundings and your environment. And then stop expecting people to do what they see you do. There's nothing wrong with lifting up holy hands in the church, but every now and then maybe we ought to explain why we lift them up. There ain't nothing wrong with telling people to hold hands in the church, or explain why you want them to hold hands, and why do we stand, why do we kneel, why do we do this, why do we say this after this, why do we say, when the deacon set up and say, God is good, why do we shout all the time, why do we do? Maybe if we start explaining some stuff, I know you think it's trivial, but if you knew and ain't never been in a church before, or have never been to a, and here's the deal. You know, white folk, can I talk? White folk who've never been to a black church have a brand new experience. Catholic people who've never been to a Black Baptist church or a holiness church or a Church of God in Christ type church or apostolic based church, that they've done, it is an eye-opening experience for all of us. Those of us who were raised in a standard Stoic Baptist tradition, the first time we came encounter with what we call a sanctified church, the first time we came encounter with one of those things, it blew our minds. And it took some explaining for me to understand why we do that, why they do what they do. So I'm going to go back to number three once again. Prepare your services not just for the people that are going to show up, not just for your regular people, but for your people, for your guests who might be first-time visitors. Amen. Michael Mitchell Sr., more of my bandmates coming in. Michael, I'm trying to plan a band reunion live on the air, man. You got to help me out. Now, get them in here, man. I think we could do one routine, one time. I think we got one left in us, man, one time. You bring your snare drum, and we'll set it off. I just think we got one more left in us. Amen. Amen. We're talking about eight reasons. Oh, my. Eight reasons. Whew, your church isn't reaching the people. Number four. Uh-oh. This one here going to be a little, might be a little rough, y'all. This one here going to be a little rough. Number four says this: your ministries don't match the needs of your community. Uh-oh. Your ministry doesn't match the needs of your community. Let's go. The writer says this: across the nations, communities are changing. Wise churches pay attention to these changes and make sure their ministries match. He says, as the community changes, the ministry of the church needs to change to adapt. It's possible your ministries meet the needs of the community 20 years ago and not today. He says, listening to the community may not be as important as listening to God, but it's right behind. He says, your community might be different, but people in suburban Atlanta are busy with schools, sports, and all sorts of groups. Pastors routinely discuss this phenomenon, he says, lamenting the fact that people don't seem to have time for church anymore. On one hand, we bemoan the businesses of our culture, but on the other, we keep planning events. He says, are people calling your church in October asking for a bigger and better fall festival? Are parents discussing the need for a better community Easter egg hunt in the spring? Are those really the needs of the community? If they are, then by all means move forward. He says, but it's possible you might need to do more homework. If you want to know the needs of the community, ask people. Ask the mayor, the city council, the school principal, the police chief, the Walmart manager, the Waffle House cook, or even the town gossip. Oh, my God. Oh, my Lord. My. Kofi Lee says, if the church did not do a needs assessment, they wouldn't know what the community serves. Yeah, exactly, Kofi. That was just the point that was just made. Your ministries don't match the needs of the community. I love that. Your ministries might have matched what the community might have needed 25 years ago. It may have matched what was needed in our community 25 years ago, but it does not match now. But yet you're still trying to force down the community's throat something it does not need. Watch this. We have food pantries all throughout the community, right? I could talk about Austin because this is where I am, Austin community here in the city of Chicago. Austin has, that I know of, somewhere between eight and ten food pantries inside Austin's community. Now, somebody might say, well, we need all 10 of them. Do we really? But see, or do you just want to start one so you can say, my church has a food pantry? We're going to start one because I want to have one, even though it might not fit the need of the community. And then watch this. Now you waste resources putting it behind something that, and don't get me wrong, because, well, the people come and get the food. Just because the people come and get the food don't mean it's necessarily a need. Because if we be honest, food pantries, and some folks are using food pantries as grocery stores. I'm gonna tell it because I don't care who listening. Some of y'all using food pantry as grocery stores. Some folk is folk coming to food pantries 4 times a week because they know how to play the system. Because here in Illinois and in the city, some food pantries, you have to have your ID and you have to put your name in a system, and you can only come every other week. But it's okay, though, because, see, I'll come to yours this week, and then on tomorrow I'll go to another one and another one and another one. So I'm not saying don't feed people. I'm not knocking what you're doing. What I'm saying is, was it necessary, or could those resources have been used somewhere else in the community? Maybe you didn't need to do a food pantry. Maybe you needed to do a soup kitchen. Maybe what was needed was a soup kitchen and not a food pantry. Maybe you needed to feed people right then instead of giving them groceries. Maybe some folk just needed to eat right then. Maybe you needed that type of setup, but you wouldn't know that, because then you need to see, well, how many soup kitchens are in the community? Oh, there's only one. Oh, okay. Well, guess what? There's definitely a need. My. Oh, my God. Help us. Help me. Let's go. Come on. We got four more and 8 minutes. Lord, have mercy. Time is running. See, that's what I get. I've been running my mouth. Let's go. Number five says this. You're not planning for growth. Uh-oh. You're not planning for growth. Woo, help us, Lord. He says, most churches do not have a purpose problem. Their purpose is made clear in the pages of Scripture. He says, but rare is the church that takes the time to develop a clear mission, considering that purpose and align their strategies and plan with that purpose. Sometimes churches don't grow because they don't plan to grow. He says some pastors avoid this part of leadership because it doesn't feel very spiritual. It looks more like business school than Bible study. But planning is biblical. He says Nehemiah created a plan to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. Jesus preached a parable about the value of planning and good stewardship. The book of Proverbs is filled with admonitions to plan and trust God. He says planning is not for God's benefit, it's for ours. God can show up whenever and wherever he wants. He's not limited by any plan we create. He doesn't need your plan at all. He says, but you, your leaders, your volunteers, and your community all will benefit from proper planning. He says that's why working on growth plan is a great idea. My. That's why working on a growth plan is a great idea. My. How do you plan for growth? Let me give you the easiest example. If you ever buy a plant, you know, a small plant from like a Menards or a Home Depot, or, you know, even some grocery stores still sell plants. You buy a plant for a couple of reasons. You buy it because you want something nice in your house, but you buy it with the intention that if you do what's necessary, that this plant is going to grow. Now watch this. As you see the plant starting to grow, in your mind, you've already made plans. When this plant gets to a certain size, I'm going to move it from where it currently is into a bigger spot because it's going to look better in that corner of the room. Y'all stay with me. Y'all, those of you watching on Facebook Live and Ustream, y'all can see this. I'm going to try to paint the picture real clearly for those of you listening on the radio side of this thing. So y'all see the two corners behind me, right? There's one corner to my left and one corner to my right. They're both empty corners, right? And so if I bought a plant that was the size of this water bottle, it would look real nice sitting here on the desk, right? Because it's a small plant, and it would look real nice sitting on the desk. But my plan for the plant is for it to grow to the size so I can put it in the corner behind me. Oh, my God. Y'all pray for me. Pray with me, church. But watch this. I have to already be thinking ahead to say, this area over here, I'm going to have to make sure I'm preparing this area to be able to receive this plant. Oh, stay with me. I have to make sure that this area has the right amount of light. Come on, somebody, that it has the right amount of light-giving sunlight so that once I do move it here, not only would it just sustain, it will grow. Oh, my God. And in the meantime, I still got to make sure I'm doing what's necessary while the plant is still small like this to make sure that it makes it to a place where I can then move it from here to there. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Jesus. You got a plan for growth. It's just like in school. Can I take it a step further? It's just like when kids in elementary school, you know, at some point the desks get a little bigger. Because, see, the school is expecting your child not only to grow mentally, and not that his not just his education is going to expand, but that his body is going to grow. So as he gets up in age, the desk might not change from first to second to third grade. Oh, but by the time he gets to fourth or fifth, you know what? We need bigger desks. That's planning ahead. But see, some of our churches, we're still sitting behind the kindergarten desk. Oh, Lord, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. Hey, we're still sitting behind the kindergarten desk. Come on, somebody. Angela says, but Dana, this holds true, but I don't have a green thumb, but I know how to gather. I know how to gather. Kofi can teach me or meet a need that I have. So what Rob and I do is call for help and be willing to remain teachable. That's right. You got to remain teachable. You have to be prepared for growth. You can't keep teaching the kids in your church. Help me, Jesus. You can't keep teaching the kids in your church the Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tell me so. Because when they get 13 and 14, oh, help me, Jesus. So you got the plan for growth. There needs to be a strategy in place from when they start to be able to read stuff for themselves, for their own understanding, that you have a plan in place. Because, see, when I'm 13, 14, and 15, Jesus loved me, this I know, for the Bible told me, I don't want that don't do nothing for me. Oh, my God, I got two good minutes. Let me get it together. Two good minutes. I'm gonna finish this thing out. I promise you, I'm gonna finish it today. The writer says this. He says, your staff and key leaders are focused on maintenance. Your staff and your key leaders are focused on maintenance. Did I put five in the thing? I don't know if I did or not. Your staff and your key leaders are focused on maintenance. Let's go. This is what the writer says. He says this. He says, here's a hallowing truth. Most people in your church don't want it to grow. He says they don't want more cars in the parking lot or more people in the pews. They don't want to share access they have with others because it means less access to them. They aren't trying to be spiritually sinister, but deep down, they like things the way they are. That's why they attend. They want their church to stay the same, to stay the way they like it. He says, but maintain the status quo isn't the purpose of your church. You're not called to care for the 99 sheep. You're called to go after the ones that is lost. He says, practically speaking, this means you have to carve out time to work on the church, not just in the church. You have to devote some of your time to the things that will make no difference this week, but can make a huge difference over the next 5 years. Here are some practical ways you can do this. He says, take one day a month to pray and think about a plan for the future. Devote the first 20 minutes of your staff meeting to leadership development. Yeah. Make appointments with yourself to do those things nobody will pressure you to do. He says, like watching or coaching videos or pursue relationships that can help you grow. Sign up for workshops where you will be forced to think about the big picture. Evaluate your staffing plan to make sure you're hiring people that will help you reach more people, not just facilitate the existing ministry. My God. Woo. My. That blessed me. Okay, y'all, come on. That spoke for itself. Woo, my. Let me keep going. Pastor Rob says, this means some grown folks. He said, this is some grown folk preaching you doing. Thank you, Pastor Rob. God bless you, sir. Bless you. Let's go, y'all. Number seven. I'm going to finish this thing. You know what? It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. I'm going to finish this thing. Number seven says this. You don't advertise or promote. The writer says, many churches have good church services, good programs and ministries, and really important mission. But all of those churches are not growing. He says, and while there's more to it, taking a look at your outreach plan is a good start. Something advertising isn't a spiritual concept, but advertising and marketing are neither good nor bad. They're simply tools that can be used for anything. He says, if you have a good church service and you're confident in your process to make disciples, it might be time to think about advertising, marketing, or promotion. Chances are, you are, he says, you've got people in the church who are good at this stuff. They may even do it for a living. Marketing is a value is a valuable tool that could be put to great use. And if you don't have people in your church with these skills, learn them. Take it upon yourself to learn these best practices. Reorient some of your budget toward growth opportunities. A good starting point could be gathering a small group of people, giving them a small budget, and unleash them on the opportunity. Oh, my. Oh, this is good right here. This is going to be some good Bible study right here. I don't know, right? This is good. And you know what? It's going to step on some toes. But it's good when your toes get stepped on. You know why? Because it lets you know you can still feel something. That's why I don't mind when my toes get stepped on. Because it's one of them things that helps you know you're still alive. You can still feel something. Let's get this last one out, and I got to get up out of here. Number 8 says this. You're not learning. Oh, my God. You're not learning. We're talking about 8 reasons your church isn't reaching people. Number 8, last one, you're not learning. He says, over the last 20 years, I've been a youth pastor, church planner, senior pastor, church consultant, and CEO. He says, and in nearly every case, when the department or organization I was leading hit a growth barrier, I was the problem. He says, not circumstances, culture, facilities, or ministry, it was me. He says, I'm the biggest growth barrier. He says, it's too easy for pastors to fall into the what we call the stuck mindset. It's where we accept our circumstances and limitations to the point of disengagement. We say things like, well, we're not just in a wealthy area, and that's why we can't raise money for ministry. Well, we're reaching a ton of new people, and that's why we can't raise money for ministry. He says, people just aren't committed to the church of God as much as they used to be, or I don't have a staff member that can handle these. Some of these things are real issues that can be addressed. Some of them are realities that can't be changed, but we're not powerless in any of this. He says, in fact, we are called to embrace the current reality and lead anyway. Look, y'all, this has been awesome. This thing has blessed me. I really hope y'all got something out of it. 8 reasons your church isn't growing. There's so much there left to unpack, and I just don't have the time today to get through it all with you all. We're gonna discuss this further. Kofi, are you local? Kofi, are you local? Let me know. Kofi, hit me. Private message me, Kofi. Hit me in the inbox. Are you local? Because I would love to have you on, man, if you are. You're saying some good stuff over here, man. I would love to have you right here, man. There's room here. There's room. Hit me up in the inbox, Kofi. I appreciate you, man. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the time we've had. God, we just thank you for learning and understanding. God, we thank you for open minds. God, we thank you for all of the people you send our way. God, we thank you for the teachers who were teaching on Facebook while we were teaching at the same time. God, we thank you for the preachers. God, we thank you for the pastors who tune into this show. God, we thank you that you allow us to even teach those that have been pastoring for years and give them some insight into what it is they do, God. And we thank you for allowing them to sow back into us as well, God. We thank you, we lift you, we extol you, we praise your name on high. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Inbox me, Kofi, Facebook Messenger, man. Facebook Messenger. Or email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Tanya, find Kofi Lee on the thing. So Kofi, find my producer, LaTanya Melton. LaTanya, find Kofi Lee. See where he at. If he local, we get him in here. I want him on the show. We'll figure it out. All that good stuff. We got to go. Look, man, I got to go. Y'all stay blessed, man. And look, if you got to drive through these special streets we call the city of Chicago, y'all stay blessed. Oh, one more thing. The sugar tax is supposed to be voted down tomorrow. They're supposed to vote tomorrow to repeal the sugar tax. I know they said they got the votes, but the actual vote is tomorrow. The sugar tax here in Chicago. Y'all ain't going to keep charging me all this money from a cherry Pepsi. I got to go. Y'all stay blessed. Y'all stay blessed, man. TTLO. Give me some more of this, this Adrian B. King, man. My everything. Bye, y'all.